salam, in the aspect of his movement. But what about in the aspect of his own family? You know, we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he had been training his son, Imam Zainul Abidin, for the assumption of the leadership of this movement and the leadership and the rebuilding of this community. One thing that we see at Karbala is that in this caravan, there are children. Even the wife of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even the children of Imam Hussein himself, even his grandchildren, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. So this is an extended family traveling in this caravan. And in this caravan, we also see Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his wilayat in the aspect of his family. We see that at one point, if you look at the condition of Imam Hussein, in this camp, he is not only the father of his own children, but he's also the father of those orphans who are with him. Look at the story when Imam Hussein alayhi salam receives the news that Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil has been martyred. When he finds out that Hazrat Muslim has been martyred and now he has this burden with him that his cousin has been martyred. And he's thinking of these two boys that are stuck there in Kufa. How will they escape? Looking at his own children, he calls his own daughter, Sakina. You see, these children of Imam Hussein's family, they were all very close. And he finds solace in that moment by rubbing his hand on the head of Sakina. And Sakina, she realizes this, that this is something strange. Why is my father doing this with me? Why is my father holding me and caressing me in this way? And she asks, Father, is there something wrong? We see Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now in this situation, he has to confront his own situation as this girl's father and the uncle of those boys. And in this instance, we see that he refrains from informing her at this point. He puts that off. Because you see, Hazrat Sakina at Karbala, she was like the leader of these children in that caravan. She was the one who was leading those children. And in these children, amongst these children, there were older children and the younger children. Hazrat Sakina amongst these children was those leader of those younger children. Of course, this group of children had other leaders as well. We see the children of Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam, Hazrat Aun and Hazrat Muhammad. These two young boys, they acted as bodyguards in many respects for those combatants who would go forward. You see, the Arabs had a tradition. They would fight in one-to-one combat. But sometimes these enemies, they would try to attack from the sides or from the back. So the job of Aun and Muhammad on the day of Ashura, before entering one-on-one combat on their own, was to actually keep those people who would sneak around off of the enemies, off of the combatants. So we see that amongst these children now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam has this position of not only father of his own children, but father also of those children who are in the camp that are not his own. And we see that many of the choices he makes, he puts his own children first in the line of danger. Before he freely gives chance to those orphans in his camp to go forward, he gives readily to his own children. This is leadership, that this leader puts himself in danger and his own in danger before his own followers. That Imam Hussein is not one of those leaders who's sending off others' children to fight while keeping back his own. He leads through example. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, at the very end of this now, when there's no one left but just Imam Hussein and his family members, all of his companions have been killed, Imam Hussein still has one son left. This one son who will do more to spread the message of Imam Hussein's movement on the day of Karbala than almost all of those other combatants on that day. You see, because the reason Imam Hussein was at Karbala as a father, as an imam, as a leader of a community, was to affect the hearts of this community. He wasn't there to fight and to kill and to defend. His message was a message intended for the hearts of this community. How would he penetrate this message into their hearts? And especially amongst the din and the clamor of this war. At one point, his baby son, Ali Asghar, is very thirsty. His tongue is swollen from thirst. Because you know, if you deprive a woman of water, of fluid for some time, or put her body under stress for some time, naturally what her body will do is decrease the amount of milk produced. So in the situation at Karbala, Hazrat Ali Asghar's mother, her milk has been reduced to nothing. So that now he can get no drink. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is asked by his wife, take this son of yours and see that perhaps they will give him some water to drink. That maybe you take him there. These enemies, their problem is with us, the adults. Surely they don't have any problem with a six-month-old baby. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he accepts this amanat. And fathers, they should know this. When mommy turns over the baby to you, really she's not giving you the baby like it's yours, you know. When mommy gives you that baby is hers that she is letting you hold. She's entrusting you with her baby. Even if you're the father, when she turns over this baby to you, she is giving you her baby. In her mind, this is hers. This belongs to her. And she is taking a big risk to trust you with it. You ever see those mothers when they first come home from the hospital? Fathers are sometimes scared to hold the baby. And when mother turns over that baby to that father, you can see the apprehension on her face. She's watching closely. This is her baby. Imam Hussein's wife turns over Ali Asghar. A lot of times we hear this story and we don't understand really what's being said in the story. We live in a modern age and we don't understand a lot of these implements that were used. When you hunt and when you practice and when you go to war, it's three different types of ammunition. Today, we only have bullets. Bullets are bullets. Arrows are different. Arrows, you see, when you go and you do target practice, or in the old days when you were forbidden from hunting on the king's land, you would use a type of an arrow that they would call a blunt. It's an arrow with a blunt tip with a very short spine on the front of it. It's perfect for target practice. It's perfect for little animals like rabbits or birds. But for big game, it can't do anything against them. Or humans, it can't hurt humans. It's a blunt. Another type of arrow is that type of arrow that you might use when you're fighting human beings. This is a type of arrow that's deliberately made to puncture armor or thick bedding. And one of the aspects of this is that when you fire with this type of arrow that you're using for human beings, for warfare, it's usually a lighter arrow, smaller arrow, so that you can carry more of them. Because the object of an archer in war is to fire many arrows. These two types of arrows are different from the type of arrow that you use to hunt with. The arrow that you use to hunt with, it's a very heavy arrow. Many times it has three barbs on it, like this. And these points are made so that they create the maximum amount of damage when they're shot at an animal that is a game animal, like a deer. One thing we don't realize about the desert is that the desert has quite a bit of live animals and deers and these different types of antelopes that you can hunt in the desert. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam took his son Ali Asghar out and he addresses this crowd, "You called me here, you invited me here, you cut me off from water. Now my family is thirsty. This little baby, he's done nothing to you. This little baby, he's thirsty. If you think that I'm asking for water for him so that I can drink it, then look, I lay him down here. One of you come and give him water, and I'll go back. And you just take care of this baby for me." No one stepped forward. Orders were given in the camp. No one go to help. Imam Hussein picks up his son, and as he picks up his son, Ali Asghar looks towards that crowd. He's not old enough to talk yet, and he doesn't have the strength to cry. So all he does is he sticks out his tongue. It's as if Ali Asghar is addressing the crowd. And this tactic works so well that in the army of this mal'oon, dog of Banu Umayyah, the troops begin to cry and the troops begin to lament, "Wai wayla." The troops themselves now are on the verge of switching sides. Imam Hussein, from that position of leadership, as a father, may have known, may not have known, that his son would have had such an effect on his enemy. But the fact remains that this enemy, the effect was so total that the general now begins to fear. He says, "Silence the child." Ali Asghar hasn't said anything. Silence him for what? Because the message that Ali Asghar is sending to those troops in that camp is the message of, is this the muwadda you show to Ali Muhammad? Is that that deep and affectionate love that you repay Prophet Muhammad with? And the order is given to Khurmallah. Silence Ali Asghar. Silence the son of Hussein. And he pulls one of these arrows that's used for hunting game. That arrow that you might use when you hunt deer or antelope or other large game. It's designed to crush the bones of animals of prey. It's designed to take the life of huge four-legged beasts. It's not designed to be fired at the neck of a six-month-old baby. This blow pins the body of Ali Asghar to the body of Imam Hussein. That these two now are joined together, not just by ties of relationship, not just by ties of relationship to Prophet, but now they're joined together by the arrow of Hurmullah. That when Imam Hussein removes that arrow, his blood and the blood of Ali Asghar, they mix together. When Imam Hussein goes to throw this blood onto the ground, creation rejects the blood. The creation of Allah says, "You cannot stain me with the blood of Ali Asghar." Imam Hussein now has to return this amanat. His wife had given him this baby saying, "Get some water for this baby to drink. My child is dying. You are the leader of this family. You are the provider of this family. You are the father of this child. You're responsible for our welfare, even in this barren landscape. Get some water for my child to drink. Can you see Imam Hussein with the body of his son? And now he has to go back to that tent. He takes a few steps forward, but he can't imagine giving this news to his wife. This precious infant that you gave me, that you made a trust to me, and I saw that look in your eye, wondering how I would bring back this child to you. Now Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he turns around. He comes back from the tent. Seven times he steps forward to the tent. Seven times he turns back. He can't find it within himself to face the mother of Ali Asghar. As a father, as a husband, it's so difficult for him. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ